Support for KGOU provided by Tinker Federal Credit Union, committed to helping members achieve financial goals and dreams each step along the way. Equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA. TinkerFCU.org.
This is Capital Insider. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. With the Oklahoma general election over, we're going to talk about what Oklahoma voters did and the direction the state's politics is heading with KGOU contributor, OU political scientist, Keith Gaddy. Thanks for being with us, Keith.
Hey, good to be here, Dick.
Keith, Tuesday was a very good day for Republicans in Oklahoma. They retained a U.S. Senate seat, they took back a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, and gained 5 seats in the Oklahoma House, with no changes in the state Senate composition. House Democrats lost 3 of their 4 rural seats in this election cycle, and no Democrat in the Senate represents a rural district. What does this say about the Republican appeal to rural voters in Oklahoma and nationwide?
Well, Sean, that's a great question. Nationally, the Democrats long dominated rural voting and rural representation. And then starting about 30 years ago, the rural areas of the South and the Rim South, including Oklahoma, started moving systematically towards the Republican Party and away from the Democrats. The nature of the appeal is on several dimensions. In part, it's culture. Rural voters tend to be more traditionalist. They're often older as well. They do not have any sense of appeal from the Democratic Party. The National Democratic Party strategy, the National Democratic Party message tends to run against traditionalism and tends to run against priorities that rural voters hold. The bottom really dropped out about 8 years ago in the 2010 election, when there was a huge overturn of Democratic seats in rural areas. So this, in a way, is sort of the end of a long process that's been going on in the state for over a decade.
Keith, what is it about the Republican appeal, you say tradition, and about the Democratic appeal that is causing this to happen?
Well, if you look at traditional values, which are largely informed by lay Protestantism and especially evangelical Protestantism, they run against a lot of the elements of diversity that are defining the National Democratic Party and also the state Democratic Party. If you look at the issue priorities that are often had in rural areas, rural voters don't want to pay taxes. They do want to have selective benefits for themselves. They don't want to have a lot of interference with their local community. They want to govern themselves, and they want to set the moral, social, and cultural tone for their community. This often runs counter to the egalitarianism of the Democratic Party.
We all remember just a few years ago, a group of House members established a rural caucus to make sure rural interests were represented at the Capitol. With rural areas now solidly Republican, with a huge majority in the legislature, an 82-19 advantage for Republicans, are those rural areas seeing more influence?
Well, I've been of the opinion they never really lost any influence. I think they were always in play. The rural caucus was more about drawing attention to rural areas than increasing their power. Everyone has a caucus at the state capitol anymore. And so this was the logical endpoint, was to have a rural caucus. But for rural areas, any power they enjoy in the short term is going to wither in the long term over time. Over the next 3 decades, the balance of population in Oklahoma is going to move decidedly into the cities and the suburban counties. The next census will show that only about 10 counties in the state actually gained most of the population that our state has gained since 2010, and that over 40 counties probably lost population, all rural, mainly in the west and in the southeast. And this means the political power will move away from these counties in the long run because young people are leaving and they're not coming back. They're going to college or they're finding a job elsewhere. They're going where there's more opportunity. And the older people do die. They do pass away. And what you're left with are shrinking communities with plenty of land and an established agrarian economy and a role in the energy economy, but not a lot of additional, more diversified economic opportunities for the people that don't actively farm or actively participate in our cyclical energy sector.
Keith, in Oklahoma, Republicans can easily get about 65% of the vote. Democrats struggle to reach 35%. Is that about the way it's going to be for a while? And how long will it take for that to change outside of urban areas?
Well, we're a couple of presidential election cycles away from the Democrats coming back and being competitive. If we look at other states that we echo, Texas and Georgia, they're ahead of the curve on recovering competitiveness for the Democratic Party. but they also have substantially larger and more active non-Anglo-white populations. So as the electorate becomes more diverse and more urban, the Democrats will gain ground. But picking up ground in the rural areas, I don't know if it ever comes back.
And young people in this election looked at things very differently than their parents and their grandparents.
Yeah. And this is a problem across the nation, is that often a young voter might have rural grandparents, but have parents who left the country and came to the city. And these young people are completely disconnected from what we would call the traditional Oklahoma experience, if they're living in a suburb or if they're living in the city. They simply don't have the same ties and the same structure of social values that their grandparents might have. They tend to be a bit more flexible and open-minded on a variety of issues that were taken for granted to be out of bounds as recently as 15, 20 years ago in this state.
Redistricting will be one of the top issues for the next Oklahoma legislature. You've already talked about population shifts and demographic changes. What do you see happening as the legislature redistricts the state?
Sean, that's a great question. And of course, the legislature is going to do its thing, okay? And historically, the Senate has drawn its map, the House has drawn its map. We have unified party control, so the governor should sign off on whatever the legislature comes up with. The chambers tend to defer to each other, and then they tend to coordinate on the congressional map. With Stephanie Bice winning Congressional District 5, you know, if I were guessing, I'd say the odds of a status quo map are a good bit more likely. The question is, you've got to shed population from District 5. It's been growing tremendously. The West Oklahoma District, District 3, Frank Lucas's seat needs population. And also, I imagine Congressional District 2 is probably down a bit also. I haven't looked at the numbers to be sure. So part of what you have to do is you have to reconcile how to shed population from Stephanie Bice's seat while also ensuring her electoral competitiveness in a district that is evolving. The Oklahoma City and Oklahoma County portions of CD5 are far more Democratic than Pottawatomie and Seminole counties, for example. So we could end up with a map that looks like 30 years ago, where Oklahoma City finds itself split between two or three congressional districts inside Oklahoma County. We're going to have to find out, but power in the state legislature should creep towards the suburbs, because you're going to probably have to find a way to shed a district in western Oklahoma and in southeastern Oklahoma in the House. And at least one Senate seat is probably going to have to significantly relocate itself. The good news, though, Sean, is that with term limits and with the staggered terms used in the state Senate, it's a lot easier to accommodate what we call collapsing districts than it used to be. You can do this without inconveniencing anybody's career.
That's going to be a big story in 2021. OU professor Dr. Keith Gaddy, thanks for joining us on Capital Insider.
A pleasure to be here, gentlemen. Take care.
If you have questions, email us at news@kgou.org or contact us on Twitter at @KGOUNews and @eCapital. You can also find us online at kgou.org and ecapital.net. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.